This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Grain markets moved to the upside, led by soybeans and wheat as we started the week on Monday. Welcome into Market Talk. Thanks so much for joining us, making us part of your day once again. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you here as we take a look at what's going on in the markets and issues impacting rural America. We're going to discuss the markets in detail, coming up with John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing. He's going to join us in segment two and three as we started the week on a positive note in the grain trade. We're also going to talk about energy coming up. Scott Wilson, Growmark FS, going to join us to discuss what is happening in the energy space. We'll do that at the end of the show today. First up, though, we got to take a look at what's happening with the weather and the weather forecast for the week ahead. Joining us now, Eric Snodgrass of Nutrien. And Eric, we saw some pretty heavy rainfall totals in parts of the southern plains here over the weekend. Get us caught up on what we saw over the weekend here across the country.
Yeah, I mean, stretching from New Mexico across the Red River Valley of the South and over toward parts of like Alabama, getting through the lower Mississippi River Valley, we had pockets in there that saw somewhere between 6 and 10 inches of rain. In fact, you're probably hearing some news reports this morning about the flooding in Dallas from the storms last night. So this is some of the first rain to hit this area in a very long time. And some of the major concern here is this is a big part of the cotton belt. So we're moving toward open boll, which means heavy rains at this time of year could be damaging to the cotton crop, just given its condition. Now, that happens, but we just don't want that any sort of damage done to that crop such that we put that down into the mud. On the other side of this, though, you think about winter wheat planting that's trying to happen in Texas. This is the kind of rain that comes through and soaks things and helps folks out. And if you just look at that map, you can see across the Midwest some really much needed rain, some locally heavier, but stretching from Iowa, which saw some hail on Friday, through Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, decent rains. And then also kind of some recent drought busting rains in parts of the Southeast. There actually had been some places in North Carolina showing up on the drought monitor as of late and getting some much needed rain in there. So yeah, this weekend's rain was pretty important. But flooding across, again, Texas all the way to Alabama, that whole stretch was pretty wet.
Well, and like you mentioned as well, some of that rain, maybe not good for cotton in the South, but could help out just as we move our way towards winter wheat planting, something that, a lot of folks, I think, were concerned about just because of the fact that it's so dry down there. There were some growers who were thinking about maybe not even putting seed in the ground for winter wheat. So hopefully, despite all the major flooding we're seeing, these rains hopefully helped out in some parts of Texas, Oklahoma, et cetera.
Yeah, but Kansas and Nebraska, parts of the Dakotas missed all this. And I think Kansas is kind of squarely in my crosshairs as the area that I'm most concerned about, just because they keep getting leapfrogged. And the heat was on back in summer. I mean, really on. And I think there's a lot of folks that are really hurting right now.
Eric, let's shift gears. Let's talk a little bit just about what we've seen this summer up until now. We're heading close to the beginning of September, Labor Day weekend coming up. And we think about all of the heat stress we saw throughout the summer growing season. We have a lot of different crop tours that are ongoing or starting up here the next couple of weeks. Hearing a lot about tip back issues. Can you talk about some of that and just what some of this heat stress has done to the crop here this summer?
Yeah, we seem to be seeing that for kind of two reasons. We had in the middle of summer a pretty big ridge in the midsection of the country, and it just kept heat really centered on the Western Corn Belt throughout the plains. I mean, there were places in Texas that had, over 40 days where the high temperatures were above 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and a lot of days with mid to upper 90s, low 100s in Oklahoma, from Oklahoma through Kansas, getting up into Nebraska, South Dakota, and hitting Western Iowa. And those places also saw some high evaporation. So what happens is you put that kind of heat on the crop right during pollination and then an early grain fill, and we just can't seem to get the end of that ear to really fill out. So that's been a big problem. I just seen a lot of folks talking about as of late. And I hope that the crop tour kind of reveals that to kind of give us a better picture of what's going on nationally here with yields.
Well, Eric, as well, heard a lot of chatter the last couple of days about what's going on in China. I'm hearing stories they're shooting rods into the sky to try and make it rain and different, you know, using different chemicals to try and conserve water in their crops. And just a lot of things, I think, are being thrown out in the news. So can you maybe make some sense of what we're seeing over in China and catch us up on the latest?
Yeah, you know, there have been pockets of drought that have shown up in what we call the Manchurian Plain. That would be just kind of north of North Korea, but getting back over closer to the North China Plain, which is north of Beijing. So that's a big production crop area. But then if you go from like the northern edges of the Yangtze River, stretching all the way back into central China, there's an area in there that's been quite wet. The real drought issues you're hearing a lot about are in southern China. Now, southern parts and southeastern parts of China grow a very wide variety of crops. So it's not just corn and beans. It's everything from rice to vegetables, all sorts of things that are grown down there. And that's where I think we're seeing a lot of the drought stress. And then if you get over into western parts of China, that is a big area where they grow a lot of cotton. And so, again, we're seeing cotton production issues in the United States. And we're now seeing them in China. India is kind of the other big cotton producing place in the U.S., in the world. And they've had some major flooding stresses in those areas too. So we just see these international issues showing up, and it's starting to get us just kind of concerned on, again, it's that global balance sheet. That's the number that tends to be looked at a lot for each one of these crops. And it just seems to be off this year. Oh, and by the way, since we talked international, if we go over toward Africa, we're watching the possibility of a tropical system showing up there. And this season has been way below average. I think we're sitting at like 10% of normal, what we call accumulated cyclone energy out of the Atlantic. So we're really far behind, but could be cooking something up there in the Central Atlantic over the next 5-7 days.
Eric, as well, South America, I know we're putting some focus back there. What are you seeing down there as we start the week?
You know, I was a little surprised. I saw some video this morning of some folks planting in Bahia. I thought they couldn't plant till September 15, but apparently in some of those smaller regions that don't adhere to that national rule, like in Bahia, they can get stuff planted. But the bigger picture here is that the long-range models still want to bring on an early monsoon. Now, there are drought issues in Argentina. There were drought issues in southern Brazil, but there were some recent rains that went through there as well. The monsoon has not started yet, and they have to wait on that monsoon to come in and give them about 2 inches of rain before they would feel like they could plant and get a successful germination, especially that first crop of soybeans. Now, here's my biggest concern, and I'm going to be honest, this is speculative, and I'm looking at really just one thing here. I have a feeling, though, and there's some data to back it up, that the monsoonal season could start quickly, but then probably back off a bit in October, and that's the wrong time to see the monsoon back off. October is the big planting month for much of Brazil, and if the rains stop, we have major problems with the crop, and there's a lot of replanting that has to happen because of that. Now, my evidence is basically just analog years where there were La Niñas like the one we're currently seeing at this point. So if that happens, we could be seeing some problems out of Brazil. Now, if it doesn't happen and the monsoon starts on time, they plant the crop on time, Brazil is going to have an absolutely massive crop, given that there's no weather issues between now and like January, early February for that first crop of soybeans.
We appreciate the time. Eric Snodgrass of Nutrient, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Up next, we'll take a look at markets with John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing. Back with more Market Talk on the way right after this.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now to take a look at the market trade as we start off another week, we welcome in our good friend John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing. John, good to talk to you again, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Another beautiful Monday here in Wisconsin. It's been a great stretch of weather here last week and a half or so.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Sounds like a lot of areas outside of maybe the Southern Plains, you know, 8, 9, 10 inches of rain, had some pretty decent weather here over the weekend, some hit and miss showers in a few areas, but overall, not too bad. Looking at this market trade, let's jump in, John. For the most part, grains were higher today. Soybeans, meal, wheat, kind of the leaders. What do you think? Was this just some fun-driven money coming back into the markets to start off the week, John?
You know, it kind of felt like it today. We got a little bit of money flow moving into the markets here last week. You see the managed money positions grow a little bit here. You know, I think that talk of the Chinese weather and their drought issues, you know, really kind of surfaced out, you know, came a little bit more forefront to bring at least some, you know, maybe some squaring up and a little bit of money flow that there may be some demand coming. So that's kind of what we're watching, I think, here today. Then on top of that, you know, we had a good solid close the last week. So we got a little bit more follow through in all three of the grains today. So that just kind of helped build this up a little bit more. And then obviously, too, we got to keep an eye on what's going on in terms of the media side of things with the Pro Farmer Tour and the other crop tours that are out there right now, you know, starting to maybe see some results. And maybe that brings it even a little extra bit into the market if, you know, again, we're watching some of those Western numbers kind of look a little bit shaky, at least in some of the pictures that we've been seeing again on social media today.
Well, and you mentioned the Midwest crop tour there getting a lot of the media attention and headlines this week. You know, I was talking with someone else wondering, you know, how far they're going to get into some of those really bad areas we know of, which they don't, you know, Kansas or sub parts of far western Nebraska, southern Nebraska, you know, southwest Nebraska, et cetera, or some of the areas even farther to the north, wondering about, you know, North Dakota, South Dakota, you know, et cetera. But, you know, we look at the tour over the years. This has always been a hot topic this time of year. And I wonder, you know, without looking at numbers, how much it has really affected the trade and now how much it could affect the trade. And you made a great point, just pictures on social media, how that plays into our new kind of algo-driven markets versus, you know, maybe 5, 10 years ago where it really wasn't a factor. So I think that's maybe something interesting we have to watch for, a couple of those points there.
Yeah, you know, we're a very headline-driven market right now. And again, realistically, in the big picture of things, you know, Pro Farmers Tour just is another snapshot of what the numbers could be. But like you said, they don't cover all those areas. And you're talking about some of the negative areas. And I was on the road this weekend and drove from Milwaukee to Rochester, Minnesota, and I saw absolutely amazing crops all the way through that stretch. As you know, Wisconsin's got some of the best rated corn in the nation this year, and it carried right into that corner of Minnesota as well. You know, so that's an area they don't test. And so again, you got so it takes a little while to balance that all out. But again, we do have a market that does trade very quickly off of headlines. And then some of those headlines maybe started coming through today. Some of those pictures came through. Not sure if that's really what caused the corn market to just kind of start catching a little bit of a bid after a kind of a difficult start. You know, I think to me it was a little more spillover from that wheat market and that bean market strength today and just some of the money flow that was there. But again, these markets are going to react very quickly to those headlines. Now, tonight, we'll get crop ratings. What if those improve a notch tonight just because of the rains from last week, or if they drop a little bit more? Right now, we're expecting unchanged, basically, week over week, so we'll see how that plays out. But again, that could just bring us into some money flow one way or out of this market tomorrow.
Well, John, you mentioned China earlier. I know that's something we're watching closely, and we'll get to wheat in a second. I have some thoughts there with China and wheat. But on the soybean side, meal side, what are your thoughts on that market? Is it some of the China concern really leading the beans here on Monday? Because it felt like around 9 a.m. on Monday, both meal and beans kind of just took off looking at the chart. So I'm wondering what the maybe the headline was or what you saw more specifically in soybeans on Monday that caused the move to the upside.
You know, we'll probably continue to watch the demand side of the equation. We got export shipments were a fairly solid number again as we're getting close to the end of the marketing year. So that's always encouraging to see those numbers kind of come through. And then again, too, you know, we got the Chinese weather. Will that come into play in terms of some demand side for both corn and soybeans? We got the July export data from Brazil, which was down a little bit, you know, year over year. So again, is that a sign of lack of supplies in Brazil? And we, you know, right now, again, we still got the most affordable bean basically from September till the end of the year. So, you know, we'll continue to watch how that plays out. Watch the cash market here. Watch those shipment numbers. I think, again, just brought a little bit of optimism despite some of the kind of shaky economic numbers we got out of China that kind of pushed that stock market over on its downside here, you know, starting last week and getting some real strong follow through to the downside today, as we're just concerned about the Chinese economy in general as they made that, you know, move on their prime rent lending rate, cutting those interest rates, pumping some more liquidity into their economy just to kind of help fire up the growth side of things, especially in their housing sector.
John, a little more on China. This could go into the wheat markets as well. I heard some rumors out in the trade that China may have bought some French wheat today, and they're also maybe looking at some other countries' bids. I wonder, was that part of the reasoning that wheat was strong? Because, you know, typically we see the U.S. dollar go higher, and we don't see wheat go higher with it. And I thought that was a bit of a head-scratcher today.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was looking at, too, just in the grains in general, is just the strong dollar move today, kind of getting back to those near-term highs. And, you know, we've made a pretty strong move over the last week or so here in that dollar index. So does that become a limiting factor? Again, we'll watch. But yeah, there was talk that China was in the European wheat market today looking to pick up some supplies. Plus also, we oversold that wheat market last week with that hard break to those new near-term lows. Still kind of keeping our bottoming action in place with the move back on Friday as well as today. So we'll have to see if that can continue to push out. Obviously, watching the weather as we get ready for some winter wheat planting in those southwestern plains. Still a lot of dryness that needs to be cleaned up in that regard, you know, as some moisture has moved into some of those regions. But again, overall, so that wheat market, it just had a really good response here. Maybe a little bit of technical fall through again after that strong sell-off early last week and finishing strong coming back on Friday and some follow through today. So, you know, wheat put itself on sale and maybe we saw that decent shipment number here too from the United States. Now we need to see if we can get some export sales to kind of pick up. But again, that strong dollar move today really kind of had me scratching my head, at least in terms of the action of the grains overall today.
John, corn and beans, you know, we look at the calendar, some of those spreads start to invert here as we start to get, you know, dwindling old crop supplies, move to the new crop some more. Looking out there, though, still looking like solid demand. What are your thoughts here as we start to, you know, move more to that new crop and out of the old crop time frame here in corn and beans?
Yeah, that's going to be something we've got to keep an eye on, especially on the cash market side. Watch your individual basis. Again, we've got stories on both sides of the coin out there. Some of those areas that are going to be corn short, you know, are going to have a tough crop coming in this year. The basis levels are going to stay aggressive and try to keep buying supplies in. Areas that are going to see some pretty good production, they're going to start seeing those end users maybe shift off that old crop to that new crop mentality that'll come into play on the basis. You know, again, that's probably that window in here where we kind of see things shift around, at least you know, getting away from that old crop mentality, which is one of those windows that makes me, cautious of this market. We typically see that selling pressure in here in this window just because of those types of moves. So, you know, it's going to be based on your individual market. Again, if you're sitting on old crop supplies, you got a good basis in front of you, don't be afraid to pull that trigger. If you want to stay in the market, there's a lot of good value out there longer term. You know, take advantage of some of those calls and call spreads just to keep that ownership in. But again, stay active if you got supplies here and you need to get things moved out of the bin to get ready for harvest. Just stay focused on what that market's going to be in front of you on the cash side.
Well, again, we are having a conversation here today with John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing. We'll get back to that conversation coming up here after the break. Before we take a break, though, let's get a look at the closing numbers for Monday's session. September quarter up 7.5, 633.5. December quarter up 5.75, 629. September soybeans up 38.25, 1527. November beans up 31.25, 1435.25. Bean meal September up 1180 a ton, 460.50. Bean oil for September up 87 points at 68.77. Chicago wheat September up 17.25, 770.5. December up 17.25 at 788.25. September KC wheat up 20.5, 865.25. December up 19 at 866. Spring wheat September, that was up 13.75, 888.5. December spring wheat up 13.5 at 9.5. Oats September down 6 at 412.75. Looking as well at canola, up 28.40 at 846.80 in the November contract. January canola up 28.40 at 855.30. over in cotton as well. That market has been under a close eye. Down 186 points in October, 117.89. December down 187 points at 114.14. We'll look at livestock numbers and continue our conversation with John Heimberg next. Back with more market talk on the way right after this.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Jesse Allen with you here. John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing is our guest analyst on the show today. We're going to get back to our conversation with John in just a minute. I didn't get a chance to look at the closing livestock numbers before we headed to the break. Let's take a look at them. Live cattle on Monday, August down 37, 141.22. October down 75, 144.50. December live cattle down 45 at 150.52. February down 12 at 154.95. But some of these deferred live cattle contracts into 2023 did finish slightly higher. Feeder cattle August down 10, 181.40. September down 40 at 184.35. October feeder cattle down 30, 186.47. Hog market October up 85, 93.97. December hogs up 32 at 84.47. February hogs up 67, 87.70. April lean hogs 95 higher, 91.50. And in the far deferreds, we did see some triple-digit strength there as well. Some of those June, July, summer contracts in 2023 getting over the $100 mark on Monday's trading session. Overall, just kind of quiet mixed action in livestock. We expected cattle to maybe react to that bearish cattle on feed report Friday. We're going to discuss that with John Heimberg here in just a second. Let's get back to our conversation with John, though, here on Market Talk today. John, let's talk a little more on the financials as well. I know you brought that up a few times. Stock market really kind of taking a beating on Monday. Energies, crude oil moderated a bit, but we've seen plenty come off the crude market. You look at the outside macro markets, you know, I guess the biggest probably news would be the stock market taking that pummeling on Monday. Any thoughts there?
You know, and then again, that was probably some of the trade, I think, today, too. It felt like we lost, had some money move out of that equity market, and it came back into the market that was probably the most pressured recently here, which has been the grains. And so that was some money flow action there. You know, typically don't see a day where you got all the grain markets rallying aggressively higher or strongly higher in this case, like we had today, or you know, just good overall movement. You got crude oil down, you got stocks down, you got the dollar surging higher. You know, that usually isn't a combination that we see. So a little bit of a divergent there today in terms of its trade. You know, stock market kind of softened up at the end of the week last week. Again, concerns about recession globally, Chinese economic data got that little push again last night on those that Chinese information. And we saw prices break down, testing some pretty key support. Now, if that doesn't hold, there's another 1,000 points probably underneath that Dow futures and that Dow market easily sitting there. So we'll have to really kind of watch the next couple of days. You know, we kind of had a really good recovery here. And the question that's been going in traders' minds in the equity markets, has that been a reversal off the lows or just a bounce in a downtrending market? So this is where we're going to maybe get that answer. You know, that's something that could have ripple effects throughout. You know, again, you look at the rest of the commodity space today, realistically, the grains were the strength and got a little bid back in hogs. But, you know, cattle was pressured, cotton was pressured today. So, again, it felt a little bit risk offish except for the grains.
Well, John, as well, we have the Jackson Hole Symposium going on this week. A lot of Fed officials and CEOs, et cetera. And I know Fed Chair Jerome Powell is supposed to speak on Friday. To me, it seems like that's going to be probably the day where we're watching the headlines out of there closely in the market. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, we'll see if there's any changes in their demeanor and their mentality regarding money flow. And you know, the Jackson Hole meeting will probably won't have that big of an impact, unlike just the regular Fed meetings where we truly get that dialogue. But again, we talk about a market that trades very quickly here in terms of its news and its headlines. So anything that comes out of there, negative or positive, could give us some reaction. So obviously something that's going to be on the table to go with all the other things going on Friday between Pro Farmer Tour, and I haven't mentioned it yet, grain options expiration for September options. Those are always fun times because those markets try to move around and get after open interest positions. So there could be some pretty good volatility as we go towards the end of the week because of those headline factors.
Well, now let's stay on that grain options topic just a little bit here, because obviously, you know, we look at September contracts. They're usually not heavily traded, but they can be. You know, and we think just about the time of the year, we think about the state of the markets, you know, remembering when we have those option expirations might be wise for some guys and gals to maybe have a little coverage, a little protection heading into those in case the markets do want to move wildly one way or another, John.
You know, very much so. If you go back and look through the options expiration window, especially markets like a bean market where things can fly around pretty quickly, market has a tendency to want to gravitate to the largest areas of open interest just to basically kind of kill some of the premium that's in that market. So we'll have to watch where we are. You know, again, we've seen some very aggressive moves on those days, and it just kind of tumbles through one strike to the next as it continues to zero out option strategies that are out there. So that could be something to watch. Probably a little bit more of a corn factor than it is in the other markets, you know, being more heavily traded. But we'll still have to keep an eye on all three grains as we get into the expiration here on Friday.
John, let's move over to the livestock trade. Cattle on Feed Report saw that on Friday. For the most part, it kind of looked bearish, I guess I would say, although some people argued that a little bit. But I'm wondering your thoughts on the cattle on feed and then also the follow through on Monday. You know, if it was that bearish, expecting a gap lower, we really didn't see that throughout live and feeder cattle on Monday, John.
Well, the initial reaction to the numbers were negative. That placement number came in a little bit higher than anticipated, obviously well above expectations and even above the analyst range. And then total cattle on feed numbers a little bit heavier than anticipated as well. But, you know, you start breaking things down, you go look at the particulars of the report. First off, you're talking lightweight cattle where the cattle place. A, they're coming out of pastures because of poor conditions. B, because of the cost of feeders, you know, some of these producers are having a hard time securing and don't want to pay up for those heavier weight feeders. So they're going to the lighter cattle, getting them in a lot, and then managing their inputs on that side. You know, you look at a jump 30, 40,000 head over last month on those 600-pound and less weight feeders, and that's where that big placement number came from. Plus, you know, what else type of cattle are they? You know, they're getting imported, they're coming across the border, they Holstein mixes too as well. You know, we've seen these cow numbers for beef continue to decline, so I'm not quite sure that we're getting numbers to mesh up in that regard. So that just brought us at a little bit of an overinflated number into the market, which, you know, obviously is still long-term friendly here. So that's why we probably saw some pretty decent support today. In fact, we did try to turn the market green, but then the corn market kind of kicked in a little, and I think that's what, you know, put the final push in. You go to that live cattle side, yeah, the cattle numbers are up a little bit. That's what weighed on October and December contracts today. But then you go, we're going to be focusing on that cash trade. That's still going to be the strength of this market here in the near term. Sounds like bids are going to keep us firmer than last week, at least an initial thought process. You know, so that's still going to keep this market supported. You know, to me, the weakness this morning provided an opportunity to maybe get a little bit of length into the market, especially if you move some cattle or got some targets going forward. You know, get some call strategies in to sell into. That way you got your price flexibility to the upside if you got cattle that are going to be getting moved out here. Because right now the cash market's still telling them to the producer that, hey, we need cattle. And, you know, there's some good strength there overall, you know, disconnected from the board.
John, how about the hog market? It was a rough week last week, and we saw a little bit of firmness come back into hogs on Monday. Is that a sign? Have we found a bottom here, or is this just temporary? What are your thoughts looking at hogs?
You know, at least the starting process for that bottom came in today. You know, obviously that was another reflection of how quickly a market can take value out on technical selling. You know, we really didn't have anything big on the fundamental side. Now, we did see retail values kind of roll over last week. You know, we saw the cash market get choppy and soften up a little bit last week, and that was just the trigger thinking that maybe our fall high is in hogs, and they took the money out very quickly. But then reality probably set back in today. You know, we saw strength in midday retails. We saw strength in direct cash on the morning. You know, you got cash still pushing 120 plus, and they got the October board down at 90. just didn't jive. So that's why we saw some pretty good buying come back in today. So we put some reversals in on the daily charts. Now we'll see if we get some follow through. Maybe it's a V bottom situation here, because the hog market, like the cattle market, still looks good in the longer term, given the supply situation, as well as just the overall demand.
Well, John, great stuff as always. Before we wrap it up, I will open the floor to you. Any final thoughts or anything else you want to share with us here before we run out of time today?
You know, I think I said this last week too, and given what the crops are out there, we already talked about areas that got issues and the areas that are strong. Make sure you're focusing on marketing your crop and your area. You know, that's going to be the biggest key. You know, we're going to see a lot of cash stories out there this year. They're already starting in terms of areas that know they're going to have a poor crop. End users are concerned. They're going to be chasing the after corn bushels. But if you're in an area that's going to have a pretty decent supply, you know, it's going to be a totally different type market. So again, make sure you focus on what's in your backyard when you get your marketing plans together. You know, if you got a good crop coming, we get a little strength here in this market, probably make sure you get some more things covered. Just protect yourself. You know, again, keep that price flexibility to the upside if the overall market needs to go higher. But again, we're going to have a very regionally based grain market, it feels like, this fall going into next year, just based on what we're seeing out there for potential production.
Great thoughts to consider. John, if folks need a little advice about their operation, I know reaching out to you and the folks there at Total Farm Marketing is very easy. How can they do that?
Love to chat with them anytime. Give me a call, 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email, johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And again, don't forget about our website, totalfarmmarketing.com. A lot of great information for producers to take advantage of. Again, it's going to get busy here pretty soon, so make sure you're staying on top of the knowledge side of things as we're getting closer to harvest.
John, always great to talk to you. Good, sir. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
And again, that is John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing. Thanks to him for joining us here on the show today. Always appreciate his expertise and insight into what is happening across the market trade. Thanks to John again for joining us here today. Coming up next, we're going to talk the energy markets. We're going to try and get a handle on what is happening over in the energy sector. Should you be maybe locking in some of your fall fuel needs? That's something to consider. We're going to talk to Scott Wilson with GrowMark FS. He joins us here coming up next, as we're back with more market talk on the way right after this.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now, he is the Manager of Customer Risk Management for Energy at GrowMark. Scott Wilson's with us. Scott, great to catch up with you, man. How are you?
Good, good, Jesse. Thanks for having me on today.
You know, I think first off, obviously we know the inflationary environment that we have been in here the last few months. We've seen a slight moderation in the inflation numbers, but you look at energy prices, you look at fuel, the cost for our growers and for consumers as well. But looking on the farm, I know this has been a bit of a stressor for our farmers and ranchers, just looking at that cost of diesel and gasoline, et cetera.
Yeah, for sure. You're correct. With inflationary pressures and everything we've seen, it's just crazy to think about where prices have gone in the past 2 years. So, I mean, we kept having record highs this summer in the futures market. Distilled alone almost touched $6, which is just incredible to think about just in the futures market. So there's no basis component of that. So just a lot of supply concerns, things like that. So, and you talked about inflation as well. If you look at the energy sector alone, it is by far outpacing every other component. Energy sector alone is up 32.9% with this last report that we saw year over year. So, and if you look at the individual components of that, fuel oil was up 75% and gasoline 44% year over year. So just incredible. Like you said, it's hard to make any money in this environment or just the input cost for these farmers. It's just incredible.
It is. And that's on, you know, not even mentioning things like, you know, our seed and our chemical and our fertilizer, et cetera, which have all gone higher as well. I mean, yeah, we've had good commodity prices, but still, you know, the margin's still tighter when everything is higher in cost. Now, Scott, we think about, you know, looking at the energy picture heading into this fall harvest and into 23. I've started to hear from a lot of folks saying, all right, it might be time to lock in your energy needs for this fall while either A, the prices are decent, or B, while it's available. I know some parts of the country we've had some questions about availability. So thinking about this fall harvest and into 23, what are your thoughts and recommendations when it comes to A, locking in or not locking in your prices and getting your supply, and then B, obviously availability as we move into the fall?
Sure. Yeah. No, those are both great points or great questions. So number one, for sure, I always think you need to try to mitigate some risk by locking in contracts for your fuel. We usually try to go out almost a year. So we're actually, with what we do, we're wrapping up most of it from at the wholesale level, and probably most of our retail locations out to the end users have probably locked in fall. Hopefully they have done that. So honestly, with the backwardation in the market, how it is, I would honestly have people start thinking about next fall harvest and then spring planting as well. Start thinking about locking in some contracts for that for sure in the coming weeks. And then also, like you said, there is some concern just with where we're currently sitting. Right now, we're about 25% below the five-year average for our domestic distillates. So I have some concern if everybody kind of harvests about the same time, there's potential that we could have some outages or some allocations going on. So I would definitely, if you can, I know it's hard to pay higher prices. Thankfully, it has fallen quite a bit over the past month or so, but I would keep your tanks as full as possible. It's better to have it than it is to need it and not have it. So even if you have to pay a higher price for it, you need it. So I would definitely keep your tanks pretty full heading into harvest for sure.
Well, and I've heard as well on the availability side, it sounds like for the most part, the Midwest and the main heart of the Corn Belt is okay. Yeah. It's some of the, you know, the eastern parts of the country, the East Coast, parts of the West Coast, maybe. It's some of those outerlying regions where we're maybe hearing more about availability issues. But to at least the central, the main heart of the Corn Belt, although it still is an issue, it sounds like the Midwest is doing a little bit better on the availability side.
The Midwest is doing pretty good. Yeah, for sure. A lot of the concern, though, too, is as we get into harvest is what's going on with, you're going to have some propane in there, too. So it might not even be just a supply issue, but also just transportation. You got to have the trucks available to move diesel, propane, then also some nitrogen as well. So there's going to be a lot of concern with some of that stuff too. So yes, concern for sure with supply. Like you said, not as bad in the Midwest potentially, but then how are we going to get it there as well?
Well, I'm glad you brought up propane, because I know that's another hot topic. Propane, natural gas prices have been crazy, Scott. We think about a late planting season here in the U.S. and wonder, you know, what are we going to see this fall? Will we have to see a lot of drying of our crop, et cetera? So when you think about propane and you look at this fall, what are your thoughts with that market right now?
Yeah, it's been an interesting year, because if you look back at historicals, and I mean, typically, you know, you see a really decent dip in about April, May, and then prices continue to move higher, you know, through the into the fall, winter season. But this year has been very different, obviously, with the situation in Russia and Ukraine, and the prices just going crazy everywhere across the energy markets. We definitely saw that happen to propane as well. We've seen them pull back about 30 cents on contracts for propane. So we're still about 40 cents above the five-year average with that pullback. So we know propane prices are going to be more costly this year, obviously, than they've been in past years. And if we look at where we're currently sitting with our current builds, we're projecting hypothetically probably a total peak build of 74 to 84 million barrels. Which would be right around last year's numbers. Last year was 76 million. But if we look back at three of the past 5 years, we eclipsed 100 million. So we are, it's not a great spot where we're currently at. And I do have concern if we have some cold weather early on, or like you said, some big yields, and we have to do some decent drying. I definitely don't think we're going to have enough, but infrastructure for propane is not fantastic either. So sometimes it takes a lot of time to get that up the pipeline to where we need it, or just to transport it as well. So I do have a little bit of concern with that, but nothing crazy, but definitely expect prices to be higher for sure this year, just because of where we're currently sitting with inventory levels.
With that, Scott Wilson, Manager of Customer Risk Management for Energy at GrowMark. We appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us here today, and we'll hopefully talk again soon.
Yep. Thanks, Jesse.
That's going to do it for Market Talk today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.